House will come to order. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is February 17, 2015, the 24th day of the session. Pending deadlines. Today we will finish second reading on the budget. We will finish all these second reading amendments. We'll have another little discussion before we start. We can be here as long as you all would like to be. Wednesday, which is tomorrow, the 18th, third reading amendments are due by 5 o'clock p.m. tomorrow. Thursday, we'll do third reading on the budget. The clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Here. Baker.
Here.
Baldwin.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blackburn.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Clem.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Dayton.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Edwards.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Yag.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Kasparic.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Larson Lloyd.
Here.
Larson Dan.
Here.
Lindholm.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz. Moniz. Nicholas.
Here.
Northrup.
Here.
Patton excused. Paxton.
Here.
Pelkey.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Piperinen.
Here.
Pinnell.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Schwartz.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Steinmetz.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Walters.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Moniz.
Excused.
Moniz excused. 58 present, 2 excused.
Couple more announcements before we get to the day. The governor's dinner for this evening is canceled. I hope that you all received an email. And also, the Whammy Luncheon today is at the Cheyenne UP Depot at noon. All legislators are invited. Students enrolled in the Whammy program will be there, as will Senators Enzi and Barrasso. Administration from the University of Washington School of Medicine and the University of Wyoming will also be attending. That's today at the depot. The black and white printer is ready to go. Please do not change the paper in the printer. Please do not. It's, next time it may be a capital offense. Whoa. Chairman Patton's in the hospital this morning. I talked to his son. His heart stopped beating. He's had some heart problems, and he's in the hospital. They got his heart beating again, and we don't know his status beyond that. So please keep him in your prayer this morning. The prayer is offered by the Reverend Elizabeth Wilson, representing First Presbyterian Church in Cheyenne.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for bringing back your faithful servants together after a brief rest. Many hours have been spent in preparation for today's business. You have called each one here to a special calling, a voice for the people of Wyoming. Give each and everyone present an open heart and open ears to listen to each other. Nothing escapes your attention. You read the intentions of our hearts. May everything we do begin with your holy inspiration, continue with your sustaining grace, and reach your divine purpose for the good of your people, not just some people, but for the good of the entire state of Wyoming. Let your love for Wyoming lead you to be more forgiving and add to love to the discipline to be reconciling force in the state. Amid tension caused by misunderstanding, suspicion, or lack of trust, send your spirit of insight and hope. Help us to make the first move toward those we've offended, forsaking our pride and seeking peace. Let love lead us to be more daring. Give us the boldness to speak out on behalf of the voiceless. Let us not be afraid to venture into dark places or in situations in which we are not in control. Fill us with the confidence that you will not desert us, the assurance that what we do is in accord with your will. Keep us from becoming frustrated by the many issues and set our sights on those injustices that we can overcome. Let love lead us to be more trusting. Help us to translate our words of confession into acts of compassion, our desire to be faithful to you. And dear Lord, we thank you for those who serve us in the military, for their lives that they have given for their country, and for the service they do for the state of Wyoming and for the world. We ask also that you keep Chairman Patton in your warm palm and wrap him with your warm blanket of love as he goes through his test in the hospital. Your love does indeed work wonders. Work now in us that others may behold your love. So both in word and deed, may we give you glory now and forever. Amen.
Please join me in Journal report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 12, 2015 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representative Schwartz and Steinmetz.
Members of the House, we're honored to have Wyoming's Adjutant General Major General Luke Reiner here with us this morning to recognize the military members sitting in the gallery above. Every year we welcome these brave men and women to the House and thank them for their service and sacrifices. General, if you would, introduce us to these individuals today and please say a few words on their behalf.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Esteemed representatives and staff, thank you for allowing me a few minutes just to address you this morning. First, on behalf of the 3,000 men and women of the Wyoming Military Department, we do want to thank you for your solid and continuing support. We could ask for no better. I would share with you that in a world of increasing turbulence, your men and women are representing this state around the globe incredibly well. Today, you have 97 Wyoming airmen deployed in the Middle East flying Wyoming C-130s with bright yellow stripes on their tails in support of daily combat operations. I report to you that they are decisively engaged and they're doing great. Additionally, before you meet for the 2016 session, we will deploy elements of our field artillery battalion in the first field artillery shooting mission since the Korean War, and for the 11th time since Desert Storm, we will deploy elements of our UH-60 Black Hawk helicopter medical evacuation unit. Those men and women, your soldiers from your hometowns across the state, are training in earnest, often at Camp Guernsey, as they start to focus on their upcoming deployment. I would also like to remind you that this morning that at the end of March is our state's annual Welcome Home Day for veterans from all conflicts. A few years ago, you passed a bill recognizing that annual event. The governor and I have attended each one of those events since they started, and I'm here to tell you that they are well received and very, very well deserved. Thank you for that piece of legislation. Your support of Wyoming veterans has a long history, and I would invite you to support your state's Vietnam veterans by participating in the Wyoming Vietnam Veteran Reunion in Casper in June. So, I am pleased to have with me today in the gallery a large contingent of your Wyoming Air and Army National Guard and members of our Wyoming Veterans Commission, including Chairman Al Evelson. Please join me in thanking the men and women, the airmen, the soldiers and veterans who have helped make our nation's military the best that this world has ever seen. So.
Major General Reiner, thank you for joining us today in the House and allowing us to honor these outstanding servicemen and women. I also want to thank the current and former members of the military in the gallery. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your service to Wyoming and to the nation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Message number 233, Mr. Speaker. The Senate appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee number one from the House on amendments to House Bill 16. The Senate conferees are Senator Perkins, Chairman, Senator Christensen, and Senator Kinsey, Elaine Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 234, Mr. Speaker, the Senate failed to concur on House amendments to bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 13, Method of Execution, -1, there were 14 ayes, 12 noes, 4 excused. The Senate requests the House to appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with the like committee for the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Elaine Thompson, or Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
I would like to introduce my wife of 35 years, up there, Denise. I have to take her to dinner tonight because I got canceled on.
They take credit cards, you'll be all right. The doctor of the day is Thomas Radosevich from Casper, and he has with him a medical student, Alex Uclase, MD, from the Family Medicine Residency in Casper. Please welcome to the House. And the nurse of the day is Cindy Woods from Platt County Memorial Hospital. Please welcome her as well. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 4, engrossed dry bean research, respectfully report saying back to the House. With a recommendation that a do pass with amendments, those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Hunt, Yeagy, Larson, Lindholm, and McKim, signed by Representative McKim, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 46, engrossed fire misdemeanors, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that a do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Hunt, Yeagy, Larson, Lindholm, and McKim, signed by Representative McKim, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 35, engrossed security breach notification, respectfully report saying back to the House for the recommendation that a do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Dan Zwanicher, signed by Representative Dan Zwanicher, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 36, engrossed Personal Identifying Information-Definitions, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that a do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, Dan Zwanicher, signed by Dan Zwanicher, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 70, engrossed Cooperative Electric Utility Rate Adjustment Notice, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that a do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Dan Zwanicher, signed by Representative Dan Zwanicher, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 117, Air Quality Construction Permitting, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that a do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Edmonds, Gay, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Summers, and Walters, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
With that order of business, I request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is message number 224 on House Bill 13, Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move for concurrence on House Bill number 13, and I ask for your aye vote. This was the bill, if you'll remember, about using up to 25% of park fees for maintenance instead of all for capital improvements. The changes that the Senate made were basically to specify that that any expenditures would have legislative approval, and also that none of the money be spent for full-time employees, increases in salaries, or overtime pay. So with that, if there are no questions, I'll call for the question.
Question being called. We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 13. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards. Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas, Northrup,
aye.
Patton excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pipirinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne, Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 13. The next message for our consideration is message number 227 on House Bill 33, Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message number 227 to House Bill 33 and request an aye vote on your concurrence. The Senate actually improved this bill by bringing. They did. If you'll notice, down where it says Section 2, the department, and for the second sentence in, may plan for and develop regulations for, including receiving and evaluated public comments. And I can tell you that during the interim, as we were discussing this bill, the one missing component was industry. And so now that we've heard from industry, they moved the rate band system with a minimum of 4 rate bands for limits on the employer's experience modification rate. And what we had was 2 rate bands. So what this does is it makes it more business friendly for smaller businesses. So this rate band was a good move, and even though I hate to say that they did good work, I would encourage your aye vote on this concurrence.
We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 33. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin,
aye.
Barlow,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blackburn,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik, Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton, excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 33. The next message for our consideration is message number 228 to House Bill 40. Chairman Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence message 228 to House Bill 40 and ask you to vote aye. All the Senate did on this bill was change a definition on the bottom of page 2 on what an automated claims adjudication system is. In the original definition that we had, it mentioned the initial resolution, or it mentions the final resolution, and in many cases, well, at least in some cases, if the adjudication is not what the claimant would like it to be, that isn't the final resolution. And so really it's just a cleanup of a definition. It's probably good work, and the people who brought the bill and the private entities certainly think this is feasible, and we would all ask you to vote yes on the concurrence.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 40. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings. Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton, excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pipirinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 40. The next message for our consideration is message number 231. On House Bill 72, Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move concurrence message 231 to House Bill 72 and ask for your aye vote on concurrence. This is House Bill 72 is a volunteer firefighter and EMT pension account. The Senate simply, I think, probably improved the language on in terms of the state's liability to the plan should it close, and I think, you know, we had that language in there, but they simply strengthened it and in paragraph B. So I'd stand for any questions, urge your aye vote.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments on House Bill 72. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker,
aye.
Baldwin,
aye.
Barlow,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blackburn,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
Yagi, aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm. Lindholm, conflict. Lockhart.
Aye.
Louts.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton, excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters. Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 excused, 1 conflict.
By your vote, you voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 72. The next message for our consideration is message number 232 on House Bill 23, Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message number 232 to House Bill 23, the Next Generation Science Standards, and urge you to not concur. Part of the amendment that they put in says, in addition to any other standards, content, or benchmarks as it may be determined necessary, we would like to define that to be any other science benchmarks or standards that are necessary so that we can keep this germane to the title. So once again, I urge you to vote no. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge the body to concur with this. We had a lot of discussion when this came up the first time, but the idea really is for our students to have the very best as far as standards are concerned, not to be mediocre, but to strive for the best. And so what this amendment would do is it would look at all of the evidence, all of the standards, all of the benchmarks, not just next-generation science standards, but those other frameworks that are actually better than next-generation science standards, and our school board or state school board to evaluate those. So in closing, I would just urge you for your aye vote to concur in this. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker pro tem. I would urge you to vote not to concur on this. Let us appoint a conference committee. Let us go down and talk to the Senate about it. I saw a really interesting statement this weekend in the press that I think maybe says it all. It says the only science that's unique to Wyoming is political science. We need to go talk about this, and I would urge you to vote no on concurrence.
Anyone else? Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Speaker Pro Tem. As I said, I just
point of order.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you can only speak two times on concurrences, and you still have someone for the first time.
Thank you, Representative Zwanitzer. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker pro tem. I urge your aye vote on concurrence. Right off the bat, Section 2, the State Board of Education may consider. The rest of it is a wash. This is a may consider. They don't have to consider. They don't have to take. They don't have to do exactly this. But it lets the State Board of Education know this body's desires. They don't have to. They don't have to do it, though. Thank you.
Representative Barlow, and Mr. Speaker pro tem, I need you again. Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I have a practical question, and maybe the good speaker, when he's down in front of the mic, can answer this. Where, in fact, does this Section 2 go? Does this go into session law? Because what we're repealing is out of House Bill 1, is out of the budget bill. So if we repeal that, where does this new Section 2 go to? Where does it go? It's just a practical question for my clarification. Thank you.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you. I would also urge you not to concur. The original bill was a very simple bill. It just took away the budget footnote, which was a financial. What we would like to do is keep it a nice, simple, clean bill to where that the state school board and the Department of Ed can deal with science standards, and they can deal with all the different options.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On and for concurrence, again, you know, we had a good debate on the floor here. We had discussions about global warming, global cooling, all that stuff. You know, what you never hear in discussion, which this particular next generation science standards look at, is that global warming or CO2 increases is all bad. Again, it's not all bad. It causes a lot of green things to grow around the world. It's not necessarily bad. So to talk that CO2 increases are always bad regardless is not good. And frankly, here in Wyoming, if global warming is man-caused, bring it on.
Representative Winters.
Yes, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I'm on and for concurrence. And I just want to push back against the idea that we're pushing for science that is unique to Wyoming. We're talking about science standards that are unique to Wyoming. And there's a reason for that. If we can retain control of our education and the standards by which that education is set here in the state of Wyoming, if the rest of the country begins to, their science standards begin to fall apart, we still retain some measure of control here. And so I just wanted to push back against that notion and urge your aye vote on concurrence.
Anyone else for their first time? For their first time. For your second time. Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I have to take issue with that one statement that was made that there's no mandate in here, that I don't have to do anything. That is wrong. There is a mandate in this. And I've heard that before, and I want to make that clear. There is a mandate in here. It says the State Board of Education may consider some things, and it may, as it may determine necessary, but the mandate is the language that says to develop quality science standards that are unique to Wyoming. That is a mandate that's in here. And that's my real objection. And how can you say that you're going to have some science standards that are unique to Wyoming? Science isn't unique to any place. Science is unique in and to itself. And to say that we're going to develop science standards that are unique to Wyoming overlooks the fact that that's not intellectually honest. If you're going to be intellectually honest about it, then science is science. It leads us where it goes. This is not about global warming. It's not about some research that was done on the Internet that I consider to be totally inadequate. It's simply about, are we going to mandate quality science standards that are unique to Wyoming? I don't know how you can do that. And that's why I think that we ought to vote no, we ought not to concur, and we ought to go talk to the Senate about it and see if we can't find a resolution to this problem. Saying that science standards, that we develop some that are unique to Wyoming, or say, like saying we develop weather that's unique to Wyoming. It is what it is. And that's the problem with this. It is a mandate. I would really urge you to vote no on concurrence.
For your second time, Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I need to push back just a little bit there as well. When we talk about science standards that are unique to Wyoming, what we're specifically asking for is for people to consider more standards than just the one that has been proposed over and over and over again that gets a C-minus rating by national groups. This is something that, according to their own study, does not integrate well with Common Core math, Common Core English, and many of those other systems that we have already adopted in this state. And so when we talk about adopting this standard, what we're trying to do is stop the headlong rush toward one system, one mode of education in teaching science standards. And so that's the reason why this language actually, I believe, improves the bill and makes sure that we go out and look for the best alternative, not the one alternative that we've been myopically staring at for quite some time. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time? For your second time, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I guess the question here in the original bill, it talks about how we're removing the footnote so that the state school board can consider only next-generation science standards. It doesn't talk about the TIMSS framework, doesn't talk about the ACT framework, doesn't talk about any other frameworks. It just simply says next-generation science standards. So the question is, are we going to mandate next-generation science standards on our schools? I understand the reasoning behind that. I mean, there is uniformity with Common Core because it's developed by the same company, copyrighted by the same company. However, do we want to sacrifice excellence for uniformity? We all know that competition produces excellence, and this is a chance for Wyoming to shine. This is a chance for Wyoming to step up to the plate and to do something that is great for our kids. So, again, I would urge your aye vote on this. That'd be it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Anyone else for their second time? Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Speaker Pro Tem. I'd just like to remind everybody to not vote for concurrence. We would like to go back and look at these amendment that the Senate has put in. We're trying to clarify the language within the amendment. And also, if you remember, that Harshman amendment on House Bill 73 was that, it's not germane, I understand, but was to let the Superintendent of Public Instruction and the State Board of School Board or State Board look at these science or look at all the standards together. And with that, I'll close. Thank you. But urge you to vote no.
All right, we are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 23. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds. Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
no.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
no.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Dan,
no.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
no.
Patton, excused, Paxson,
no.
Pelkey,
no.
Petroff,
no.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
no.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
no.
Summers,
no.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
no.
Throne,
no.
Walters,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters, Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 20 aye, 39 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 23. Conference Committee on House Bill 23 will be Representative Burkhart, Representative Northrup, and myself as chair. We're now on bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 1. There are amendments. Now, where's my first amendment?
What I need you to announce is that after the list was printed, we added two more amendments.
But that's the Committee of the Whole, right?
No, these are all second reading amendments. So it's 13054.
Where's the amendment number that's like that?
Oh,
I see. All right. Okay.
So we need to announce that they need to insert those two and then
okay.
They need to insert.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, on your list of amendments in the order that will precede the batting order, after second reading amendment 37, which is H2037. It's number 7 on your list. After that, insert H2054. And then on your list, after number 13, which is H2014, insert H2055. The First Amendment for our consideration is second reading Amendment number 46, Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to withdraw second reading Amendment number 46.
Good news. Without objection, I'm sure second reading amendment number 46 has been withdrawn. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment 40. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move second reading amendment number 40 and would ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the body, most large employers in the state and many small employers in the state, including a small law firm that I used to work for, provide paid maternity leave or paid family leave upon the birth or adoption of a child. While we are very generous with our state employees with regard to vacation and sick leave, if you're a new young professional with a new child, sometimes it's very difficult in those early months to be at home with your child or collect your salary. There are studies across the country that show paid maternity leave actually benefits employers. All this amendment does is ask our department that handles these employee matters to study the issue. And with that, I would urge your aye vote and stand for any questions.
Discussion on the amendment. Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question really for the bringer. Isn't it true right now that parents can take accrued sick leave and accrued vacation leave? And is it, just remind me again of the Federal Leave Act. Maybe you just said it and I was taking notes, but it was, is that 12 weeks unpaid currently? And then, but our state employees, if you had 12 weeks of accrued sick leave, you could take all that. Is that the case now? Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is it clear if we're giving direction to administration and information that we're talking about the one that is giving birth, or are we talking about the one that is responsible for the birth also, the male, or what? Because that would make a heck of a difference, it seems like to me, that one's going to cost a lot more than the other. I mean, it isn't clear in here which it is.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess what this is, here we have another study, and I think all of us know studies lead to statutes, so it's already covered by the federal law that they have to keep their jobs and they can take it however they want, so I would be against the amendment.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This isn't a study that leads to a statute. In fact, this is a study that leads to a good discussion next year when we have a budget session and that we take into account executive branch compensation and the benefits that are associated with it. It is our obligation to think about sick leave, to think about pensions. Paid family leave is something else that we should be considering. It is really important. When we think about, for example, kind of a young new state worker that we want to retain, what are the elements to keep that young worker here? Our sick leave is not all that generous, right? And so what we have is someone who, in order to take off a minimum of 6 to 8 weeks with the birth of a child, needs to do so uncompensated. I would urge us to consider if that's the way that we want to retain some of our best and brightest employees. And so let's have A&I come back to us before we have that discussion about executive branch compensation and just tell us how much it will cost. Right? We're not asking that we do it. We're asking that we have some knowledge before we consider it.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Responding to some of the questions, in response to the good chairman of revenue, the Family and Medical Leave Act is the leave after you have the child. It's not the cost of the pregnancy, and it does apply equally to men and women. There are cases where fathers take paternity leave and the mothers go back to work right away. So it's a family policy. But both parents can't take it under at least the state guidelines that I'm familiar with. So if you have a married couple that are state employees, one or the other would take it, but not both. But getting back to the broader issue and the chairman of appropriations questions, yes, you can take your accrued leave. But imagine you're a new young engineer working for our DOT or our Department of Environmental Quality. You've just started your job. You find out that you're going to have a child. You're very excited. But you haven't accrued any sick leave yet that you can take. So frequently what happens is these people quit. And there are studies across the country that show family leave benefits pay off for employers because they're able to retain the employees. So all we're asking is for A&I to go out and research for Wyoming what would work for Wyoming and, quite frankly, what a lot of our large employees in the state and across the country already do. We are behind the times. And so it's a good study bill. It will help us retain employees. And as my desk mate said, we have to have the information before we come back next year. So I would urge your aye vote. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 40 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 40 to House Bill 1 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 1. Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move second reading or second amendment number 1 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is an amendment to put $200,000 back into the Veterans Park in Cody. This Veterans Park has a desire to make up a women's memorial for veterans. And I'm looking at an email from the Veterans Association. They said the State of Wyoming Veterans Park Organization Committee will be raising all additional funds at the cost of the project that are likely to exceed the $200,000, so they have skin in the game. I stand for questions. Thank you.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And this came up. I tried to keep this in the budget, but the questions that were there were legitimate and I think need to be answered in terms of, is there a design? Is there a matching fund? What is the total cost of this? Where is this in the stage? It has been presented as we need $200,000 for this item. I think we need more information on this.
Representative Cohn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, I don't know how many members have had a chance to actually visit the State Veterans Park, but it's a fabulous place, and it's really well designed, and it was put together by a group of folks, all volunteer, who just cared about the state and our veterans, and it grows and grows and grows. It grew from the State Vietnam Memorial all the way to now there's a World War I memorial there as well. So it's an outstanding facility. I think that we can have those questions answered. And I think that this is a really a place that we can all be very proud of. And I think for, you know, we were all here during introductions, and we saw all the great people that are serving us right now. So I think that this is money well spent. It's a great investment for our state, and it's a great way to honor those folks. So I would urge your support of the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's a couple different issues that we had with this. And number one is that there's three or four or five different memorials all wrapped around into this entity. And so each time one more classification, it's kind of like our driver's license or our license plates. We do another one, and we do another one, and we do another one, and they kind of stack up on each other. But there's no consistency. And so they just find one, and this particularly one happens to be for women, but there's going to be another one, there's going to be another one. And then they gave us a proposed budget, and the proposed budget they gave was really kind of nonsensical. And in the proposed budget that was delivered to us, they didn't explain how it ties in with the remainder of the park. They didn't say anything about matching funds, by the way. But the proposed budget they gave us was exactly $200,000, and this is exactly what it costs. Then we also had some testimony of folks who had been to the park, and they said a little bit different characterization of the use of the park and the benefits of the park. And so our point was, well, we need to know more about it. We need to see it in action. We need to know how many visitors they have. We need to know lots of different things. Plus, we need an overall plan just to add on one memorial after another and how it's going to work. None of that information was presented to us, and so it was to us it just wasn't really ready to go. Obviously, it's a wonderful idea, but we've just got a long way to go before we just start throwing another 200 after another 200 after another 200. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just kind of continuing on with that, I need background, too, on whether or not this park has a memorial for a men's memorial already, and we're trying to catch up by installing a women's memorial already, or if we have a memorial there that doesn't refer to one gender or the other. That's going to help me make my mind up on which is the appropriate way to go.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And we don't have an updated goldenrod today. The last one was updated on 2/10, which is the same, I think, today if you look on the website. But general fund, budget reserve, we're $601,000 underwater. And so we're going to have to find a way to obviously come above water. But this came before the Appropriations Committee. I think it's been well stated. There were really no plans, no bids, no. Usually when these things come on and ask for money, we see a picture. We see that it's been vetted, those kind of things. So we thought, this is a deal that's going to come back. That's just a thing that we didn't feel like we had to do in this supplemental budget. So on and against. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll try to answer some of those questions. This is the same process that's going to be used or has been used to construct World War I, World War II, a Korean War, and the Freedom Memorials that are located within the park. It's a select panel of Wyoming veterans will get together, and they're going to advise the State Park of Veterans Memorial Park organizing committees on the specific design, and also much of the work by the contractors is donated. A considerable pool of volunteers provides the workforce to be used for general work and tasks related to the project. Phase one, of course, is a general concept and design. That's $12,000. Phase two will be a final survey, engineering plans, and site inspection at $15,000. And phase three is site preparation, which includes buildup of the base material at $30,000. Phase four and five are inspection and installation of French drain, soil testing, and certification. And, of course, phase five, which is the last of it, is actual installation of the monument. So they've done this before, and at this particular park, it's a great park. If you have a chance to be there during Memorial Day, Governor flies in. We have a great big ceremony. We honor all the veterans, and I just encourage you to pass this amendment. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 1 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading, amendment 18, Representative Bartle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 18 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a issue. We're early in the budget. We started getting our explanation of how the budget works, how the process works, standard exception, supplemental budget issues. This was one that went through all of that process, and I just thought we should have some more discussion on it, just like we had for the last one. This was presented to the Appropriations Committee. They did consider it, and I think we need to have some more consideration of what their discussion was, where they had concerns or and did not advance this forward. So that's the purpose of this, is have a discussion, and then I'll follow up with some closing comments and ask for your favorable consideration in the end. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask you to oppose this amendment. We did hear testimony in Appropriations Committee. Both of these issues that are bringing back in this budget could have been brought back during the regular budget. Part of it, there's two phases to this amendment. Part of it was equipment that should be in a regular standard budget rather than bringing it back in a supplemental budget. The other portion is operational. It involves contracts with contractors or performers or whatever. Both of those issues we felt as a committee should be looked at long term rather than kind of a knee-jerk reaction to try to get supplemental funding. I don't want anybody to think that I'm not in support of the Wyoming State Fair. I'm totally in support of the Wyoming State Fair and what it does for our state. But I don't think this is the appropriate time to be bringing this. Thank you.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the previous speaker stated, this is a supplemental budget. This amendment belongs much better in the regular budget. We'll be back here in less than 12 months to do that, and they can bring it then. There is money for the state fair for some of the things they asked for, and frankly, some of this money was for lawnmowers. I think that can all wait until we look at the standard budget, and this agency also needs to look at the fees that they charge and what they do with those fees. On and against the amendment.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Speaker, I just think need to know that we don't just dismiss these items. We went through this. In these two particular requests, first of all, were for almost twice as much. And then the governor's rec cut those in half, and they came in. And as we went through these, I mean, and if you look on your budget under Department 10 or Section 10, it's around page 28, you look at these things. These are for deck mowers. These are for items that ought to be in their ordinary budget that they need to be working for, need to be prepared for, need to be budgeting for. And so that was a discussion, knowing that the budget was tight. We were looking at those items that needed to be part of their general budget. It wasn't just dismissed, and I think that's important to know. I appreciate the bringer of the amendment bringing it so that we can reiterate the fact that these discussions were had. And I think the last speaker had raised one point, was the entry fee to the state fair is $1. That's something we're going to have to look at. Is raising that fee if they're not able to keep up with the expenses or the costs associated with that. I'm against this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's lay out a few things here. It's true, we do have a standard budget process. Within that standard budget process comes exception requests, i.e. to increase amounts. And then we have a supplemental budget process when things do change. Ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what's happening. Let's take two points and two things to keep in mind. There are two portions of this. Part of it is for contractual engagements. This entity has 11 employees authorized. Do you think a establishment with 50-plus structures, many acres, and many events, not just one event, the state fair, which is mandated by statute, but many events, survives on 11 employees? Absolutely not, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of contract services are utilized. What happens with contract services over time? What is happening in this community due to the amount of activity occurring in this very community? Do you think anybody else in this community is as dealing with the same effects, the same impacts? The cost of providing services, the contractual services in this community are real and they're increasing daily. Ask the school districts, ask any of the entities, government entities and private entities in this community, what's occurring there. It is real. The second part of it is for the equipment part. No question, we like to build those things in. These things are durable goods. They have a limited life. We have spent millions of dollars increasing the types and the amounts of facilities in this, and with that comes other needs, major maintenance. So let's take a step back. We've been asked three times that I can find in this budget to consider this exact same thing. We're asked this under the division that takes care of all the state buildings in this town, $600,000 to deal with services, right? Utilities, etc. $600,000. In another budget, we've been asked to deal with major maintenance under Section 27. Major maintenance. Folks, that would have been something that could have come under the regular budget item, too, but no, it's right here. Adopted the rec, $7.4 million. Here we are in another section. Reduced the rec, but we're still going to, adopted the rec for another one. Major maintenance and equipment. So, folks, this isn't unprecedented. This is an agency with a particular mission that we have identified in statute. Provide a state fair and provide for other events. They are doing that. So let's take a little look at the numbers. 2006 to 2011, average attendees, state fair, 45,000. The last 3 years, average, 58,000. 12,000 more people, folks. This is the numbers they're putting out there. If people want to disagree with them, let's bring that forth. Let's take a step back to the number of non-fair events, event days. In 2010, the same time frame, went 300, 400, 400, 500, 600, 600. Now we're over 600 the last 2 years running. So, folks, we're asking a facility to do more. We're choking them off with the ability to fund the services and actually have the equipment to keep folks safe in this facility. So, folks, we've talked about flexibility in some agencies. They can move money around. You've heard about the fees. Well, folks, we appropriate those fees, too. It comes out of a special revenue fund. That could have been done with this. It was done for a couple other entities that came from this agency, but it wasn't done for this one. Could have given them some flexibility to deal with immediate needs. I'm not suggesting that deck lawnmowers are the immediate need. I hope it rains. I hope it rains a lot. But, folks, there are some significant things here. So, in the end, folks, I don't mind things being a bit ranchy, but this is a representation of the state of Wyoming. This is our facility. This is something that we have asked to be accomplished, and I think we ought to have it look a little better than ranchy. We built it, and they showed up. So now, folks, let's make sure they have the funds to actually make it work the way we would like it to work on behalf of the community and behalf of the state of Wyoming. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 18 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment 18 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration. I'm sorry. Madam Majority Floor Leader, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I
skipped you once already. I'm sorry.
It's okay. May I have privilege of the floor, please?
Yes, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, just to give you an update on our good representative, Patton. He's had surgery. He's had a stent put in. There was a heart blockage. He's in ICU for today, and hopefully they will take him out of ICU tomorrow. His family would like to thank you for your prayers and good thoughts. So I'll keep you posted. Thank you.
Cat of nine stints, I think, here before we're done. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment 2 to House Bill 1. Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll try to give Mr. Patton or Chairman Patton an adequate on this.
I move Second Amendment to House Bill number 1, and this is for $50,000 for the winning Wyoming team in the We the People state final competition. This $50,000 will help offset the cost of these teams going to nationals. This is a great little competition they have. It works on the Constitution quite a bit, and we had a nice presentation in education, so therefore I stand for more questions. Thank you.
Representative Greer.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I just want to help make it clear. Last year, we budgeted $100,000 for this program in the general budget. And what this amendment's doing is asking that of that $100,000, that 50 of it be expended for the travel. So that's why I went through it and had read that. I didn't read this as an additional funding, and I may be wrong on that.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To answer the previous speaker's question is, yes, you're wrong. on the amendment, line 1 says increase amount by $50,000, so it is an increase. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would push back on this amendment. We gave $100,000 to this. That's what was requested. You have a statewide event, you send people to the national event, and you know $100,000 is quite a bit considering that other statewide events have been cut, and that, and as one of our former legislators used to say, the budget expands to whatever the available money is plus 50,000, and I think here's the 50,000 that it's expanding to. So I would urge your no vote on this.
Chairman Hoshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, just to be clear that this is a doubling of the current We the People budget. So we budgeted $50,000 per year last year for the two-year biennial cycle to actually encourage the event and the statewide event. This would, in effect, double it now for the final year of the biennium to send the winners on a trip. So haven't really seen, you know, most districts, I think, in their block grant, I think, have a little room to do these kind of things, these special things when kids go to national championships. And I just don't know that it's something that we need to do, and particularly this amount to double it. So I'd urge your no vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Having participated in this and the judging and seeing what a success it is around the state, what it does is it engages youth in understanding the governmental process and how things work. And if we're to spend $50,000 on the future of generations coming up and understanding and being interested in how government works, this is money well spent. So I'm on and for this.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have a question for the bringer. In the budget from last year's language, as was mentioned, it does say, and I'm looking at page 22 of the budget bill, that the appropriation associated with this footnote, that was last year, shall be considered one-time funding and shall not be included in the department's 2017-18 standard budget request. So I guess my question is, what happened between last spring and now that they need $50,000 extra to send the kids out to the East Coast? I mean, the program is awesome. I have no question about that. I'm just questioning, did the airfare go up twice as much, or more people going, or hotels, or what was it that caused the need for the increase in funding?
Chairman Swanser Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to try to take an answer to that, and I do support the amendment. Just to give the body some more information, what we did, the budget footnote is for the competition within the state. And so I think we had 12 teams from various jurisdictions, and they take buses. These teams are anywhere between, I think the smallest I've seen is 16, the largest I've seen is about 30. Last year's winning team had 23 members. And so you're doing that for 2 days in transportation. That $100,000 we have in the budget is for the statewide competition. Last year, the problem really was that we had a
It's a 20-member team, and you're sending them to Washington, D.C. Those of you who've stayed there recently, it's not getting any cheaper there. So by the time you take 20 students, you do a three-day trip of hotels, you know, and you do airfare at 400, being somewhat conservative each, that adds up real quick. And so that is a little bit more than, you know, some wiggle room of a school district's block grant. We're talking real money of, you know, the five-digit $30,000 to $40,000 range. And so I think that's why the good chairman brought this amendment. The winning team 2 years ago, I think, was from his community, or last year, I can't remember. But it was an imposition on their school district block grant. And so the money is specifically for the trip to D.C. and the costs associated. The national competition is getting stronger and stronger every year. And so, you know, just like we treat athletics, these are things that our kids are excelling in, and it helps their future, and the price of competing with other states keeps getting higher.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm on and for this amendment. folks, if you're not familiar with We the People, it's a civics program, and it's a great concept because we want our young people to be engaged in the political system. We want our children to know about our heritage and our history, and so this is a great opportunity, and it gets kids involved. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have nothing but total respect for the program, but my question is $50,000 here. What about when we have our state high school band program marching in a famous parade in Pasadena? What about when we have kids that are in state and national competitions? It used to be called the Knowledge Bowl, but I don't know the name of it now. What about kids that are in special groups and choirs that raise their own money for an opportunity to sing in New York on a very famous street that has a lot of different live performances? It seems to me that we're cherry-picking one organization, and it's true that the topic that they cover directly relates to us and the work that we do and the education that we want these kids to have, so that they can come and replace us as they grow. But I guess what I'm saying is there are many talented kids in Wyoming doing a lot of very special things that have a lot of very special opportunities to travel to nationwide events. And why are we not only once but now considering a second appropriation to support them? And if we do, then who's next? Or probably a better way to say that is who's left out?
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So basically the good chairman comes and asks us to double the funding for this program. But there's no plan. There's no cost basis. We don't know exactly how the funds are going to be used. And there's no commitment from the winning school district to contribute part of it. And so it's one of those wonderful ideas, but we need some meat behind it. We need to understand exactly what it's going to cost roughly. We want to know what the school district could contribute. A wonderful idea. The other question that I have with this is, why is this in state parks and cultural resources? To me, this is probably ought to be under the Department of Education and be monitored and go through those processes. And the fact that we've got this little hanger out here under the Parks and Rec doesn't make any sense to me. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time, Chairman Zwanzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let me respond to the last two speakers' comments and concerns on why it's in state parks, because it's not in the Wyman High School Activities Association, which covers, I think, every single instance the former chairman talked about. They cover all sports, and they cover another 12 or 13 groups, all-state music, art, DECA, drama, FBLA, FCCLA, which are in the hall currently, FFA, journalism, marching band, music, skills, speech, bear groups, and student council, but they don't cover We the People. And so we have funding entities and mechanisms out there for all of the high school sports, and I'm sure there may be a couple of high school activities that aren't covered by the High School Activities Association, but I can't think of what they are off the top of my head, besides We the People. And so that's why the appropriation is here. It's kind of outside of the standard funding model. Admittedly, we put it into State Parks and Cultural Resources last year because it wasn't taken up by the High School Athletics or High School Activities Association. And so it was a decision made by this body to support the program. And sometimes, you know, we made a guess last year of what it would take to support the program, and nobody envisioned what it would cost to send a 23-person group to D.C. for 3 or 4 days. And so I hope I at least answered the questions on why this isn't covered in other places and why a school district maybe can't just funnel the funds into this program. It's currently an entity of this body, and hopefully in the future we do move it in and we encourage the High School Activities Association to take it or the Department of Education to fund it. But at least for the next year of the biennium, whoever wins this competition this year is going to need some money. These kids work really hard. Those of you who've judged or have worked with them in your local communities, you know, I've worked with two of the high schools here, and I've judged elementary, and you know, people put every bit of effort and work and time into the We the People competition that they do into sports teams or into some of these other clubs, and so they're not being funded out there right now, and I would encourage us, at least for this year, to fund this, and then we do need, I will totally agree, a better mechanism in future years on where the We the People program goes. But for this year, I would ask you to vote for the amendment.
Chairman Harshman, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just for information, Mr. Speaker and members, that you know that really this has nothing to do whether it's covered the Wyoming High School Activity Association or any of really to have any of those activities or sports under the sanction, and those really refer to culminating type events. It only takes six schools to petition and say, hey, we'd like to have a state championship We the People program. So if six schools are participating and say they want to do it, they can do that. They'll adopt that. But I would go back to, I think, what the good chair lady of health said earlier, and she hit it right on the head. There are all kinds of programs that our kids are involved in, many of them unique to our communities, maybe two or three communities. But we haven't reached out and just said, hey, we're going to fund you because we like this. And this is kind of a unique thing we did last year. It came in a budget amendment and was successful. And so now this is kind of ramping it up one more time. And I would go back to the chair lady's comments, and she said there's all kinds of kids who are doing great things, and they school districts help them out, local communities help them out, they fundraise, they do all those kind of things. But to pick out one activity and say, we're going to fund you to the hilt, and we're going to fund you an all-expense-paid trip to Washington, D.C., it's really unprecedented. And I go back to the representative from the capital city. It really should be it is actually, I think, resourced in the block grant under our activity funding, which is very generous, covers these type of things. These kids who come to the state competition are riding on school buses. That's 100% reimbursed by the state. So, you know, we're in the game on this already as a state. I think what this does is separates one thing, and it says this is really extra special. And we haven't done that before. And I urge caution to start looking at it like this. So I'd urge your no vote. Thank you.
Anyone else for the second time prior to the sponsor? Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm sure that Chairman Patton would be glad to hear all the positive thoughts and everything that was said about the We the People competition. I understand that this city right here has had a championship team, and also that Chairman Patton's hometown has had a championship team, so he has some knowledge of what the finances are going to take, and I just ask you to support this measure. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 2 has failed. Ladies and gentlemen, congratulations. We're through 6 amendments. We only have 48 to go. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment 37 to House Bill 1, Representative Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment 37 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration.
I remember July 10th of 1990, the state centennial. And we came into town, my wife and my two little girls and I saw a presentation out here in front of the statue on the front steps. Came upstairs into our committee rooms for some exhibits, had lunch at, I think it was a Lamburger, actually. At night there was a nice fireworks demonstration. Still remember it 25 years later. Happy birthday, Wyoming. I gather there were similar events in 1940 for the 50th, 1965 for the 75th, 1985 for the 75th. Or for the, 75th. So anyway, this year there's an equivalent conference planned, I called Our Place in the West and Beyond for June 10th through 14th over the hill west of here in the Gem City. There'll be panels, speakers, dinners, tours, book signings, music, and art. To my knowledge, it's the only statewide event being planned to honor the 125th anniversary of the state of Wyoming. So I'd like the state to be supportive of its own birthday, and I'd find it a little odd if we weren't. So I'm asking for about half of the money back that was in the original $32,700 request for this conference, so they can raise the rest. Thank you.
Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and on in favor of this amendment. Folks, this isn't the state park's 125th year. It's the state of Wyoming's 125th year. And this amendment only gives them 50% of the money. They're going to have to go out and work with members of the corporate community to try and raise the other 16.5 for this conference. And it's not anything that we can push off till the next budget. It's going to happen this summer. And the next time we have one of these quarter century celebrations, I don't know how many of us are going to be in the legislature still or even alive. So I think it's something that we have to look at doing right now, and I urge your support of the amendment.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One thing with this is for a conference. It's not for a state celebration. This is for a conference that will occur in one town, and if you want to participate, you're going to have to go to that one town and figure out what speaker you want to listen to or music you want to listen to or what book you want to buy and have someone sign. This isn't for a statewide event. This is for a one event that will occur in one town during the week, and most people won't even be able to attend. It'll probably happen on a weekend. So I would resist this amendment. They've known this is coming for 125 years. You could plan a little better than to bring this request in a supplemental budget at the last minute and say, oh, by the way, later this year we just realized we're going to be a state for 125 years and we want to have a conference, not a celebration, but a conference. So I would ask you to resist this amendment, and if they really want it, and I belong to organizations that do this, they go out for their own funding and their own money, and the members put money into it. And I would say they can do that to have this conference or meeting or whatever it is on and against the amendment.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just thought the body would like to know, how did we end up not funding the governor's and the agency's rec, but ending up with a footnote that says how the agency is to behave as if the conference was going to happen? So during the JAC process, when we opened up this agency, I did offer the amendment to fund this conference, and did so because we do history really well in Wyoming. It's something that we're incredibly proud of, as we should be. You know, we are the West. And in addition, we do history really well with our school kids. You know, many, many of our school kids, most of our school districts participate in a kind of national competition. Our kids win often. And so making that argument, in the first round of JAC, we funded this conference and we funded it fully. And I added on this footnote to make sure that the papers that were presented at this conference would be available to everyone. You know, in my head are these school kids who would like to know what happened. Well, and that passed, all right, so that passed. Well, the next day, in what's called the round robin, where we go through the agencies again,
It was decided that instead we would fund to this agency $100,000 for artifact preservation, and we would take out the $32,000 for the conference. So the conference money went away, the footnotes stayed, and that's where we are today. And so just a little history for you.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A little more background information. This conference was planned a long time ago. It's in the works, and this conference will take place, and they have the money for it. And so our position was have a wonderful conference. You've got the money for it, and hopefully I think it's actually during the weekdays. I think it's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, three-day event. It'll be in Lair in the city over the hill, so I hope you all can attend. Thanks.
Anyone else for their first time? All right. For your second time, before the sponsor, Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And as a response to the last speaker, what this money would do would be to decrease the admission to the conference and make it more accessible for folks from around the state to be able to attend. Otherwise, it will be really expensive, and you don't see those busloads of kids being able to come.
Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And to respond to my former members of JAC, along that logic, if this one doesn't pass, I guess I could bring back a third reading amendment that puts four times this amount of money in there so we could start planning for the 150th birthday of the state of Wyoming if we really need to start looking that far out. But this is something that we want to support this year. I would think not only people from this state, but other states are going to try and come to this and use that tourism opportunity to visit other parts of the state and spend money in your communities.
Anyone else before the sponsor for their second time? Representative Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The 10th to the 14th of June, by the way, is a Wednesday through a Sunday. So I appreciate the support that has been given the conference already. Happy birthday, Wyoming.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 37 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 37 has failed. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
In the gallery behind us, folks, are members of the state officer team for Skills USA for the state of Wyoming. And if those folks could please stand, we have them from all over the state. They hail from Casper, Rollins, and Douglas. So welcome, guys.
Welcome to the House. The next amendment for our consideration is Second Reading Amendment 54, Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 54 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Members, this restores the original recommendation. It adds an additional $100,446 for artifact and artwork conservation and preservation in the state. And I think what's important about this amendment, and which I think it's different from maybe some that we've heard before, there's actually a plan in place. There's items that are ready to go, ready to be put in a condition where they can be conserved over the long period of time. There's a list of specific items. They're statewide. There's not one area of the state that has a preference. And they're a wide variety of items, from fossils to artwork to military items to agriculture items. So this is really our heritage. This is our culture, and I would support. I ask you to support this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Burkhardt, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This about doubles the amount of money that's in there for artwork and preservation. Puts back into the budget pretty much the original amount that was asked for. The issue is, though, they have a priority list, and they do have a plan. It's how fast you can execute these things during the budget year. If we gave them all the money, in fact, today, they probably wouldn't have most of this done for quite a bit of time. It takes time to do this. Some of the materials, for example, are leather and that, and were tanned with a process in the old days that included arsenic, so they have to be tested for arsenic before they can even be handled without gloves and that. They are part of our history. I've seen the list. I've seen some of this artwork, and it is beautiful, and it does need to be preserved. But we need to do this in a manner that allows us the time and effort to do this correctly. Actually, there are about 70 items they want to preserve right now, somewhere in that range. The total number, though, that they have is in the five-figure range that they need work done on. These are the most critical. And in effect, the budget funds the most critical amount of work and the most critical items that they have. And some of these are part of our history. In fact, I know some of the people who own some of these articles. So it is a good thing, but we need to take this in a logical manner and do what we can do at the time and bring it back on a regular budget and plan for this long term, not just in a supplemental. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have a question. Looking into the governor's rec in this area, it says that the museum does not have a conservator on staff, and they requested it as one-time funding. So I just want to clarify with their priority list and all that. If we were going to be funding them, if we fund them regularly, then I can see the sense of paring it back because we'll get it next year and the biennium after that and so on. But if this, in fact, was only a one-time thing, then I'm a little concerned about what happens to what we don't fund. So if that could just be clarified, please.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to try to answer, I think it was expressed to us really that this is one of those things that's really never ending. I mean, it's going to be a constant thing. And so it came to us, said $200,000 one time. Well, it's not going to, I don't think, going to work that way. And I think you're going to see probably some kind of thing built into their budget. They've requested it before, but that'll just systematically continue this process. But, I think the good representative from Carbon said, we put $200,000 on this, it's not going to get all spent right away. We're going to be back here in a few short months, and this request will come again, and we'll probably put a little more money to it again and continue the process. But it's like everything we do. It's usually not all at once. It's an ongoing thing. So, again, your JAC did respond to this. We funded half of it, $100,000, which is not an insignificant amount. And I hope you'd stay with our recommendation, vote no on the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their Representative Nicholas?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. By the end of the day, you're going to get really tired of the committee number ones getting up and trying to say bad things about every little amendment that comes along, so please bear with us. But, and if you look at the supplemental budget, it said the funds are for skills required to do specific specialized training to vendors who come and do this under contract. So basically, you have hundreds of thousands of artifacts that are stored in state archives and state building. One of them is across the Interstate 80. Different ones need different things to preserve them. Some of them need less temperature, some of them need more temperature. Some of them, I mean, you have leather, you have materials, you have paper, you have just, you name it. Just folks come donate it to the state and it goes into the kind of like the Ark of the West down there, Ark of the East, and it just stays there, and then we need to preserve them. So what we're really funding are contractors to come in and take care of the most important things, or the ones at least they select out. When you go through the list, you're going, well, why in the world would this be number 7 on the list and not number 20? Because there really are some odd things on there, and it has a lot to do, I think, with how long they think it'll last until they can actually preserve it. But we looked at the list, we looked at what they wanted, and we said, this is a reasonable amount. And so we will be back here. This is not the first time we've seen this, and so on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Once again, members, this is different than some of the other requests. There is a priority list. There is a specific plan. There is a method of executing that plan. And these are very important items to the state of Wyoming. So I understand it's always tough to get up and make these arguments for the amendments because committee number two does a lot of great work. But in this instance, it's exactly what they are asking you to oppose on other things when they say there's not a plan and there's not a system to get it done. There is a plan. There's a priority list. These are important to Wyoming. I would urge an aye vote. Thank you.
We're voting on a second reading amendment number 54 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 54 to House Bill 1 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 45, Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 45 to House Bill 1. And folks, if you look at your goldenrod, try and find the Wyoming Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund on it. So you're not going to see it. We talked a lot about having more transparency with the coffee cans of money that are out there. And actually, if you look at this amendment, don't look at the amount of money, but pretty much go to page 142 in your budget. You know, that's the continuation of the borrowing authority that the executive branch has. And when you look at pooled investment income, and you look at the borrowing authority that we allow the chief executive and the person that has the office right below us here to manage government when we're not here, and how they do that, all the things that come up. When you read in that, you see that this money is actually paid back to the source from where it comes. And the interest from the amount borrowed is the average interest rate earned on pooled fund investments. And in this case, what we're doing here, we're basically taking that large coffee can you see over here on Representative House District 60 and putting it in that small coffee can you see over there on the desk of the representative from House District 45. It's actually given us an opportunity to give the people downstairs an opportunity to use this money and gain a higher interest than where it sits now. That's the main thing that this bill does, or this amendment does. During my time on JAC, I always wondered what we were doing with all that money in the LISRA. And it just sits there like in your savings account, you know. And I guess if you had kids and you had a large savings account and you wanted to move some of that money to a trust fund account for their college education, you're thinking about their future. Or if you're going to move some of that money from your savings account into an IRA, you're thinking about your retirement future. And I think as representatives of the state, we want to think about the future of the state of Wyoming and where we want to be. What we want to allow the executives of the state to be able to do with the money that is in this account. Also, a lot of those other accounts you don't see on the goldenrod. The other point I'd like to make also is the Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust Fund is about halfway to being fully funded to the point where all the projects out of that we do in the state of Wyoming for Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust that they work on in the state of Wyoming. We're about that close to having the interest off that account, that trust fund, funding all those projects. Currently, we're funding a lot of those projects out of the general fund. And also in the chief executive's state of the state, he had mentioned that he wanted to get that trust fund fully funded as well. So going from an investment where you're getting 2% on a savings account, to me that this really doesn't make any sense. Well, we have a trust fund that we have the possibility, even with the constitutional amendment, to allow the chief investment officer of the state of Wyoming to make those investments if that constitutional amendment passes. There's also going to be a greater return on investment for the state of Wyoming. When you look at pooled income that you see here in the budget bill, you don't see that anywhere on the goldenrod either. So right now on the pooled income account, that total is about $6.3 billion. The total investments right now are at about $19.5 billion. Total assessed value right now for the state of Wyoming is $23.5 billion. This amendment deals in millions of dollars. The reason I used the scenario earlier with your savings accounts, your children's trust accounts, whether they're for college or whether they're for retirement, it's the same concept, folks, that we're looking at here. And I think that if you look at the bill that they're talking about, Revision 2020, these are some of the things that they're going to be talking about. They're going to be talking about diverting some of the statutory money that goes into the permanent mineral trust fund. You're going to hear about spending policies, about what those caps ought to be, how much could be flowing in the general fund, and also CRAG. We talk about a lot about CRAG. And the E in CRAG is for estimate. It's not for exact. So we have to have the vision to be able to plan for the future. We have to, when we're gone, we have one of the shortest legislative sessions in the United States. We're a citizens legislature. We're not here full-time like a lot of legislatures are. And that's the reason why we have borrowing authority in the bill. Also, my co-sponsor would like to give his reasoning from wanting to do this as well.
Representative Lindholm, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to talk a little bit about the Wildlife Trust Fund and what that fund is capable of doing. That was put into statute a couple of years ago, and it's outlined in there what that money can be used for and what it can do. Improvement and maintenance of existing terrestrial habitat necessary to maintain optimum wildlife populations. Acquisition of terrestrial or aquatic habitat when existing habitat is determined critical or is in present minimal amounts, and acquisition presents a necessary factor in attaining or preserving desired wildlife or fish population levels, and there's eight of these, to mitigate conflicts and reduce potential for disease transmission between wildlife and domestic livestock, to include such things as brucellosis. This trust fund can really do a lot of good, and we get the necessary funding in there. We're looking at possibly in a couple of years being able to invest, hopefully, in other things than just bonds, so we can see a higher rate of return on this trust fund. And I hope you give an aye vote. Thank you.
Gentleman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, signed on with this. I thought this was a unique opportunity for the Cultural Trust Fund. I just... As I went into this, I thought, you know, there was a man in my area that kind of spearheaded this, and for many years had been involved in this. I just kind of felt an obligation I should proceed with that on his behalf. As what I stated before, I think this is very unique. I think it's a great opportunity to take care of an obligation that we said we was going to take care of at one time, and ask for your eye and serious consideration on this. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a couple things I just want to kind of correct so we all don't get the wrong idea here. But the first words in the first 30 seconds were about transparency. And you said you'll never find, the good bringer said, the representative from Cheyenne, you won't find the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund on the goldenrod. Well, we have probably 50 funds out there you won't find on the goldenrod. We put the ones on the goldenrod just as a choice because it's a daily moving thing with bill status and funds. But the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund is in your data book. It's on our website. It's on the Treasurer's website. It's all over the place. So we know we've appropriated every dollar into that. That's been on this floor. We've taken votes to put the over $100 million in the fund. So I push back on that deal. It's very transparent, the Wildlife Natural Resources Trust Fund. But I think the issue is, what are we trying to do here with this amendment? And you're going to move it really from one savings account to the other, and then it changes the borrowing authority back on page 141 for pooled funds. And the point was, well, pooled funds aren't on your goldenrod. And well,
Absolutely they are. Pooled funds are all the funds of the states that we've appropriated, and they get spent at different times, and it's out there flowing, and there's a cash management. When we went to this accounting system 25 years ago, and so all that's out there. And then the reference to $19 billion, well, I mean, that's the Permanent Mental Trust Fund, the Common School Fund, the Workers' Comp Fund, and the Hathaway Fund. All those things are part of that. And about $6 billion is that pooled money that we need to cash flow and keep the state moving. That's, every state has that, and so do we. And we earn roughly right now about 2% on that. And so we have introduced a bill, which is was a committee bill, will come to this floor soon in the next week. It's SJ2, which is investment of state funds, because there are some funds that really, you know, pooled funds you have to keep pretty liquid because you're going to have to pay the bills. But there are funds like this Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund that's $102 million or whatever that number is now. You know, it's sitting there, and it's a statutory trust fund. We're probably not going to go into that unless times get real tough. And so we thought, well, that would be one where we could maybe have a little more exposure to equities. And so we're trying to pass this constitutional amendment. It passed down the hall. Hopefully it'll pass this body, and hopefully our citizens will vote it in. But that would be one that you would use, and you'd say, well, there's been this goal to get the Wildlife Natural Resources Trust. The previous governor talked about it. This idea has been around for 30 years. The idea is to get it up to $200 million. That's been the magic number. And then it would draw at 2%, this certain amount that we would have every year, $4 million at 2%. Well, we think that by passing SJ2, we're going to get that up to 4 or 5%, and it'll be just like it was $200 million. It'll provide those projects. And so, but really on the second page of this amendment, to put this in place of the pooled funds, and we're going to borrow from it, does nothing to the rate of return. It's clearly set that it's going to be the rate that was earned in pooled investments. So it really does nothing. I don't know why we do it. In fact, I don't know why we would put it in this fund that's been kind of statutorily inviolate and put it at risk, frankly. You wouldn't be able to use it all because you're borrowing it. It doesn't make any sense to me, I guess. So I think, and really we're only borrowing for, we've given authority in this budget for the insurance now, $20 million, and then we've given $20 million on forest fires. But to do this, I think, move from one savings account to another, I don't think it does what we want it to do, and I think the biggest thing to help the Wildlife Trust Fund is really SJ2 right now. That will be just like doubling it to $200 million in that fund. And so I'm sure we'll support that when it comes. It makes good sense. But to me, I don't know what really this does, and so I'd urge you to vote against it. And, you know, we've spent 10% of the LSRA this budget. You know, on a lot of, I've talked to, we got to have at least 10% for 10 years. You know, so we could burn through that LSRA probably this afternoon, a lot of the budget amendments. And so I think we got to be real cautious. We've already spent 10% of the LSRA. It went from $2 billion down to $1.8 now. And, yeah, look at your goldenrod. It's 1.8. Remember, we had this back in when we came here, it was profiled to be $2 billion. And we heard all that talk. So folks, I'd urge you really to vote no on this. And we're going to do a lot for the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund. You know, and we've done a lot for conservation easements. And, boy, we've spent millions and millions and millions on easements. And this is a lot of things we got to talk about before we just throw another $50 million in and say we're really wise, number one. So thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I urge your no vote.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Excuse me. I stand on in support of the Wildlife Trust Fund, and I think it's very important that we put enough money into that trust fund to do the job we're going to need to do in the future. As we get endangered species come on board, as species get listed to be potential endangered species, all of those affect revenues in the state of Wyoming. The more we can do, the more we can do to help wildlife, and that trust fund has done that, to help those wildlife, because it's in a, the way that money's spent is in a very proactive way. I think that will benefit the state of Wyoming and benefit our revenues in the future. Thanks.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To continue on with the previous comments, I think it's important for the body to understand that our industry, our mineral industry that provides all of the tax revenue that we live on, or 95% of it, is a huge supporter of this trust fund. And that's because the more we protect wildlife in this state, the less chance that the feds will come in and do it. And then with regard to, you know, it's really just where you put the money. The money that's subject to this amendment is just as available for emergencies as it is in the fund it's sitting in now. So let's put this little pot of money to work for our mineral industry, to work for protecting our wildlife, which is a long-term resource that we all want to maintain in Wyoming. And it really doesn't affect anything we do on a going-forward basis. The money will be there for any emergency. Thank you.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I sit on the committee that approves the large projects for the Wildlife Trust Fund. And I've asked a lot of naive questions in the last 2 years. I think this is a good bill, and here's kind of a laundry list of why you want to do it. First, you get a better return on the money that the state already has. You're putting it in a different place, and you're going to get more money for that. The trust fund does have the magical number of $200 million, and the chairman of appropriation is right. Almost all of that money has come from the state. There is a small amount, a million or two, that came from industry, and one of my naive questions was, is, well, why don't they give more? And they kind of looked at me and they said, Representative, they do. Because what they've done is when these projects come up, is they pledge their $100,000, their $200,000 to match with what we get from the investment. And industry likes that. They can pinpoint where they want to put their money. And that's why they don't want to give money to raise the trust fund corpus. When I sit there and I listen to all the different projects, they usually come up and say, you know, for every dollar that we're putting in, the state is we're going to get three more. We're going to get two more. We're going to get six more. There's always a significant doubling of the money or tripling of the money, and I think that that's real apparent. So if you want to bring it down to three reasons. One, we get a better interest rate. The second thing is that we get better cooperation from the local industries. And the third is that we are able to get more projects done.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. And just to address a couple of the arguments. First of all, you know, this really likely won't impact the amount of funding we have going into the WWNRT because we have consistently appropriated that difference and funded projects as if we had $200 million in there. And you'll remember we direct the income off of it, and then we always have appropriated extra into the WWNRT to fund those projects. So this amendment is not about fully funding that, you know, what would be funded by $200 million because we've been doing that. Secondly, the argument that this is just another savings account and that you put it into the WWNRT and you can just pull it out anytime, that may be legally correct, but we all know that is not politically correct. And if you don't believe me, I would challenge somebody to bring a third reading amendment to pull $50 million out of the WWNRT and see what happens. Because once we put the money in there, it is going to be claimed for the benefit of the wildlife of the state of Wyoming, and there's no way you're going to be able to unlock that. Instead, we're taking our liquid savings, and we are, as a practical matter, locking it up. And in that way, this amendment is really a sort of ready-shoot-aim kind of amendment, because we have talked about what is the proper amount of the LSRA.
And we had some, during the interim, we had some great reports on the fact that Wyoming is one of the most volatile states in the country as far as revenue. And that dictates significantly how much we need to have in liquid savings. And there are estimates that we're at least probably only halfway there on the savings that we need to adequately protect the state given our volatility of revenues. But we're going to find that out. And we've talked about the bills working through that are going to examine that. But what this does is it spends substantial amounts of the LSRA or moves substantial amounts of the LSRA before we really know what that amount is. And I would just submit to you that is not a wise approach. With the amendment coming through, we will substantially increase our returns on the LSRA. But by taking it out, I think you handcuff us before we really even figure out what we need in there. So on and against the amendment.
Chairman Swanser, Dan.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Officially neutral on the amendment because in the grand scheme of another 10 years, I don't think it's going to matter, actually. But I do have two questions and I from the discourse, and I don't understand. So the first, and one that's on both sides of the debate, the first question, did we actually take any money out of the LSRA, like the good chairman of appropriations said, for this year, or did we just stop funding for going in? Because there's a big difference in my mind. And then the second question, in the inverse, is this the first time we've had a budget amendment or a bill, a policy, where we've taken money out of the LSRA? Because I can't remember that we've ever officially, this might be the first instance I can think of, that we've asked for money out of the LSRA. So if somebody can answer those two questions, if this is the first time, or as the chairman said, we already took out money from the LSRA, but I don't think that was correct.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to reiterate and urge your aye vote on this. We're not looking to immediately spend this money or anything like that. What we're looking at doing is fully funding a trust fund that can do a lot of good work, not only for agriculture, but for wildlife in the state of Wyoming and only in the state of Wyoming. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, I would just draw folks' attention to the budget bill, and it's actually where this affects is on page 141, 142, and over to 143. I want to really draw your attention. And while you're turning to 141, members, I just want to address a question by the good representative from the Capital City. If you look at your first goldenrod when you came down here, the LSRA was 19996, right? 2 billion. Remember, we all heard in the campaigns, you had 2 billion in the rainy day fund. Start spending it. Well, look at today's, it is 1.811 billion. Now, you know, we can split hairs and say, well, we didn't appropriate, we intercepted. The bottom line is we spent $200 million is profiled in this budget that was going to go to savings. So I'm calling that spending out of the LSRA. So you can call it what you like, but I think we got to be honest about it. That's where the money was going, and we intercepted it. And we've now appropriated it. And so that's that, the answer to that question. So I don't want to be too cute on that deal and say, well, we didn't. We did. Okay, we're the first group in the legislature to do that. Now, members, if you'd look on 141, and you can see the borrowing authority, it's under Section 350, 141, line 18, $20 million for the Forestry Division. And if you read down to line 21, Homeland Security for Natural Disasters, so borrowing authority if something should happen. And then, members, if you'd flip over to page 142, on line 13, there's $22 million. And if you go down to line 15 on 142, it says for group health insurance plans. This is the first time we've done this, given them this borrowing authority. But part of the reason this amendment is being sold to you, it said that you're going to increase your rate of return. But I want you to go to page 143 on line, at the last word on line 1 on 143, and just read that sentence. Interest paid on the amounts borrowed shall be the average interest rate earned on the pooled fund investments in the previous fiscal year. Bottom line is, it's going to be the exact same rate of return. You're not going to move this over and get a higher rate of return. It's going to be the exact same. That's what it says in the law. Okay, so really I think what this is, and we've always had this
this debate on this floor. You know, you put it in the LSRA, and when are you going to, you lock it up in there, and, you know, we get all these words that we just heard. It's not transparent, although it's on page 2 of your goldenrod. And now we're going to put it into an account. They say it's still available. And I would go back to the good speaker pro tem. Good luck. Good luck. Be the first representative to bring that amendment and say we're going to pull this $50 million back out to fund schools or to build an office building or to fund the Department of Health. I don't know. Good luck to your chances on that. I just don't think it's reality. So I think you, in effect, take this money from one savings account, reap no financial benefit, and then, in effect, lock it away. And, boy, I urge caution. This would be unprecedented. And I just hope we don't go down that road. So I urge your no vote on the amendment.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to add a couple things, you know, we talked a lot about the goldenrod, and we talked a lot about pulled investments in the data book. Well, I don't know how many of you pulled out your data book since the beginning of the session, but I guarantee you nobody out there in the general public has looked in our data books. And I think we need to have more transparency there. We talked about the pooled income and the borrowing authority. Well, the borrowing authority out of the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund is a lot easier for the man downstairs to administer than the pooled income accounts, because there you're talking about probably six, seven different accounts. This is just one account we're talking about here. Talked about risk. Well, we're risking it now. The risk isn't any greater by putting it over in the Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust Fund. And also we talked about getting it back out. It's just 31 votes in the House and 16 in the Senate. You know, I would say we're probably not going to even have to do that. Not with the way the rest of the incomes are looking in the state of Wyoming. Not where our investments are, especially if we get this constitutional amendment passed. You know, the policy, here's the policy of this state. We tax the people to save their money. That's the policy. And this amendment changes that policy. It shows the people of the state of Wyoming that we're interested in actually funding some of the projects that have inherent value, the things that that's important to them. And here's the return on the investment. Those projects, look at the amount of money that goes in there, every budget. Look at the large project funding bills. I say those projects have inherent value worth more than 2%. It doesn't handcuff us. We hold the purse strings. This isn't the governor's budget. This isn't the JAC's budget. This is the citizens of the state of Wyoming's budget. And I think we need to have the courage to make the decisions that look out for the future of this state and the future of wildlife in the state. Those are the things that are important to people in this state. At least they're important to the people I talk to. So I urge your support for the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 45 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 45 has failed. Division being called. All in favor stand. All those opposed, please stand. More than 17. Second reading amendment 45 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 22, Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 22 to House Bill 1 and ask for favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this is about priorities. We've heard a lot about priorities already this morning. The way this budget process has worked with the highways, safety, and passing is the a particular commission made a request of a department. The department came back with four priorities in the state. That went to the executive of the state. He said, I think we can only forward two of those. When that went to the our committee that reviews these things, they said, we'll stick with those two, but we're going to address the money issue differently. So, folks, the concern I have is we're splitting the baby too many times. What are we going to get meaningful out of it? And so while this maybe looks a little self-serving, certainly it is the district that I represent, that where the funding of this for Highway 59, I'm going to use the name of the highway because it's in the bill, it's in the budget bill, 2026 is not. I certainly understand that those folks would be saying, hey, what about us? But ladies and gentlemen, this is basically talking about splitting the money. How do you split something that's been split two or three more times and have something meaningful in the end? And this doesn't address the money itself. That money, we're not having a discussion about the $2 million, the $10 million, the $5 million, and how that lays out. We're going to have another discussion about that with another amendment on another reading. But this talks about just, is this a priority? If it's a priority, let's put it toward that priority. Now, if you choose not to believe that this is the most important priority, that's fine. We'll come with a third reading amendment, turning that priority-making decision back, having decision place back to the commission that oversees this and not in this body. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think that this makes sense. Let's have a discussion about what the priorities are. That's this body's choice. If we don't want to go this way, let's put it back in the division where it probably properly resides. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I stand for any questions.
Representative Larson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to share with the body that I would, if I were a wager and man, I would say that I drive Highway 2026 probably more than anybody here in this body. In the last two decades, I've drove at least five times a day, or five times a week, out and back. That's just where our work is at. I'm very familiar with the highway. I'm also familiar with Highway 59. And if I were to prioritize, I would prioritize Highway 59. Would we like to see some passing lanes on 2026? Would I like to see some passing lanes on 2026? Yes, but I'd much rather see them on Highway 59 and certainly would be willing to let the highway in my county go to improve that, and we'll get that taken care of. I'm confident we have a great Department of Transportation, and I know that that's on the priority list, and so I would urge you to support this amendment.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd urge you to resist this amendment and look at the next amendment coming up and support that one. Because my life is so disorganized, I drive both of these roads almost every weekend. And this amendment is a little self-serving, and we've heard the chest thumping regarding this. And the simple fact of the matter is I think it's a shame that there aren't already more passing lanes on 59, especially once you get past the 30-mile point south of Gillette. I guess I'd say that's in here. But the fact is, with the recommendation that came out, was a number of passing lanes that were recommended and identified by the department. And three-quarters of those were for Highway 59. In one quarter, we're to fill in the gaps on 2026. And so this moving forward, what we're saying is that these are two highways that are of the highest priority. And of that high priority, we're giving 75% of that priority over to Highway 59. I don't particularly care for this footnote all the way around because, and I think we heard this when the budget was first presented on first reading, is it implies a study component to it, which isn't right. What we need is a direction. A clear direction is to get these passing lanes constructed and built for the safety of the people in our state. And these happen to be two of the roads that we need to focus on. And I just see this by cutting out 2026 is inappropriate. So I'm against this amendment.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against, I think we were presented with really a choice that we don't have to make by the bringer of this amendment. And really, these priorities were brought to us by the department, by the chief executive, and we didn't mess with the numbers of passing lanes or any of the priorities. This was brought to us like this, and we found a creative way to fund it, period. It was brought to us. There are 15 on 59 and 5 on 2026, and we found a way to do it. In fact, to move the timeline up much quicker than our partner down, the executive downstairs wanted to, or the department. We said, no, we're not going to wait a year and just do planning because we think we can actually get some built later this summer, and particularly some of the easier ones that don't require a lot of movement of dirt and those kind of things. I tell you, so the choice is not saying we're going to make priorities. We already did. Our priority is the safety of the state of Wyoming, the people that drive these highways. And it's brought to us by the agency that studies where heavy trucks and rigs and slow-moving traffic is at. It's not about to bring something self-serving and say, oh, we're only concerned about this. We're here to grow the whole state. And so I get really nervous of these kind of deals where it says, you know, we've found a solution to this problem. Now, we're going to push you out, and so now we've overfunded the 15 passing lanes on 59. Because nobody requested 17 or 18 or 19 or 20. They brought to us 15. We funded those. So I just don't understand really where this comes from. And I'd really urge you to not adopt this. You know, I think all my time here, we've, last year, $24 million for the northeast part of the state. You know, we spent $140 million in general funds, $210 total on the water project in the northeast part of the state. All the buildings we've done in the southeast corner of the state. We're going to rebuild our state facility in the southwest corner of the state, and on and on and on. I mean, it's a continual thing in our community colleges all around the state, schools. Now, we're here to really build the whole state, grow the whole state, not to kind of say, hey, you're out. We're going to pick winners and losers, and you're out. Even though this thing has been vetted through the departments, come to us, and we found a very creative way to do it. And really a new way to do it, and took some risk and a little bit of heartburn to do it that way, but we felt it was important. So I'd urge you to stand against this amendment and support your JAC position to really get this work done for our people. So on and against.
Representative Kasparek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment. You know, we can talk priorities all we want. The priority is here on Highway 59. People are dying. Just last night I received a report that somebody in a two and a half hour trip up Highway 59 counted 89 large oil trucks and oil rig equipment on the road. You know, the road needs fixed, and it needs fixed now. We need passing lanes. There's nothing more important in our infrastructure than to know that we're impacting the safety of the people who drive our highways all the time. Highway 59 is identified as one big dangerous road. Thank you.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, the interesting thing to me about this conversation is that we have an agency that has a $1.2 billion budget. And if they wanted to find $15 million or $21 million and build these bypasses, they could do it without any of our requests or without the governor's recommendation. They could do it. But it just so happens it didn't fit their particular priority over the next 3 or 4 years in their planning process. To fix it, all that we have to do is say you will make this a priority. All the good leader of the state downstairs would have to do was say, you make this a priority. We wouldn't have to fund a dime of it. The money is there. We just change their priorities because we are the folks that have the purse strings, and we can tell them where the priority is. And so really we're kind of fighting around in a paper bag. What all this is another mechanism to get an additional $15 or $20 million to the agency. Not the issue really shouldn't be Highway 59. So, you know, I kind of have a different bent on this. They can do this, and they have to study it. They have to do the environmental impacts next summer. So that we absolutely know they can't start construction until those are done. Construction will start the following summer, and it's going to happen, whether we give them $5 million or $15 million or $21 million, because the funds are available, and once they know our priorities and the man downstairs' priorities, it's going to happen. And so, to me, it's an interesting conversation. I've driven 59 a lot. and it needs to be fixed, and it will be fixed. But the idea that we're fighting over who wants to give them the most money, to me, is a little bit, we've got to think outside the box on what's really happening here, and that's just another mechanism to get more funding for the highway department. Thank you.
Representative Pinnell.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. On and for the amendment, there is another name for this highway, and I think here recently put out in the paper that's in the center of the state that stated it is a highway of death. So we should tell YDOT, the group, that there is a priority, and they need to focus on that priority. It's a serious problem. This highway's been named highway of death. Been numerous names used on that highway. In my previous job, I've dealt with a lot of fatalities on that road. So I urge you to pass the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be brief. I just want to encourage the body to understand the urgency here. We're bringing this amendment because this is an urgent need. We've seen too many accidents, too many deaths, too many injuries on this stretch of road, and there needs to be something done. And to draw this thing out another year, another 2 years, or however long it takes because of lack of funding, simply doesn't cut it. So that's why I'm on in support of this amendment, and just want to emphasize that. There's an urgency here, and I hope you grasp that. Thank you.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, and I just want to reiterate again that the issue that is on that highway that's been spoken of as the highway of death is going to be taken care of. But there are issues also on this other highway. The funding is still going to be there. All of those things are still going to be there. We're making this a zero-sum game when it really ought not be.
Anyone else for the first time? First time's over. Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate what the good representative from the land of hot waters just said, and he's exactly right. And I agree with everything that was said from all my friends from Campbell County, Converse County. Everything you said is correct. Support that 100%. That's why your JAC pushed this agenda. And or it would have never happened. I mean, we're going to get this done because of our efforts and the efforts of the legislature. And so don't get in. I just really urge you not. If this amendment is adopted, it does nothing more for Highway 59. It does nothing more. And it gets into the zero-sum game, which was so accurately described. And, boy, I just don't think we want to go there. We're going to have a lot of debates. And we get into this small school, big school, and community college, UW, and you get all this stuff. This deal is not necessary. It's not going to help Highway 59 any more than we've already done. And I agree with everybody's comments. And really appreciate your comments. And we're moving into action quickly. And we'll get to work on them this summer. So I'd urge your defeat of the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for the second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank the Chairman of Appropriations for agreeing with my comments that you should support this amendment, because I believe that's what I heard. So let's take a few things of clarity here. The money. This is not about new money, old money. There's actually only $2 million worth of new money that's put toward this project. Actual, real, in-the-bank money. The rest of it is adjusting priorities within that agency that was talked about, and two, hoping on the come after the end of this biennium. That's what we're talking about here, folks. So this is a priority. Now, where is that priority? Let's, folks, the money that we are generating in the state comes from many sources. And I would suggest to you that the baseline of that is from a mining industry that is centered in this part of the state. And the new activity that we're seeing in the petroleum industry is coming significantly from this part of the state. Folks, I think our job is to invest in the places that are actually generating the revenue that runs so much more of this state. Our counties are doing that. Our counties are pouring millions of dollars into the county roads that feed into this single road. Single north-south road. They're doing it. The state needs to do their part. That is a function of government. Take care of those basic necessities. Now, if we don't like priorities, let's strike the whole thing. Let's just say, go do something somewhere where it's the most important in the state. We started with four priorities. We whittled it down to two. I'm just suggesting let's decide that one may be the most important. If that's not the case, then let's take a step back and say, maybe we can't figure out what the responsible thing to do is. And as far as the footnote, there was another mention of a different footnote. This negates that. Actually, the next budget amendment I would ask you to accept on this issue. It's a good one. We can have a discussion about that. I guess the last thing is there's something said about the counties. And, you know, how much we've poured into that northeast county before water and other things. Folks, these passing lanes are in the county with the 13 on their license plates. The majority of these. And when I read this budget amendment, when I read this budget footnote, number 10, page 32, it says 20 passing lanes on this and this. So maybe we get 40 passing lanes. Maybe we get 20 divided in two places. Maybe we get 10. Folks, we talk about priorities and we talk about specificity. Well, this doesn't talk about the 15 and 5. This doesn't talk about any of those things. We're going to delegate that authority to the agency. Maybe we should do that. But I'd say let's decide what our priority is. Let's support the communities and the people that are driving up and down the roads and producing the revenue that we get to come down here and spend. Ladies and gentlemen, on and for the amendment, on for the safety of our citizens and the prosperity of our industries on this highway and for the state of Wyoming. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 22 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment 22 has failed. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House stand in recess until 1 p.m.
Are there any committee announcements? Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number one will meet in 5 minutes in room H8 to consider the following bills, Senate File 77, Senate File 94. And since it's only an hour, I don't know if we'll get to Senate File 106, Senate File 18, but they're on the list, so if we're fast, you need to be there. And also, Mr. Chairman, tomorrow morning, Judiciary number 1 will meet at 8 o'clock to consider Senate File 111 and Senate File 120.
Chairman Zwanitzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet 10 minutes after adjournment tonight. You guys better pack a lunch and a dinner. In H-17, to hear two bills, Senate File 29 engrossed, Motor Vehicle Driver's License Exceptions, and Senate File 137, Farm License Plates.
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will be meeting tomorrow morning, Wednesday, February 18th, at 8 a.m. in room H-10 to consider Senate File 103, Bicycle Pathway and Highway Separation, and Senate File 105, Game and Fish Roundup Program.
Chairman Swanser, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet in 3 minutes in room H-18 to hear the following two bills, Senate File 52, Election Vote Centers and Electronic Poll Books, and Senate File 54, Election Code Revisions.
Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet Wednesday, February 18th upon adjournment in room House 10. To hear Senate File 57, School Facilities Appropriation, Senate File 98, School Athletic Safety, and Senate File 101, Veterans in the State Tuition.
Vice Chairman Larson. Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's mischief going on back here, but your committee, Labor, number 10, will be meeting Wednesday, tomorrow afternoon, 10 minutes after adjournment, in room H-17. To consider Senate File 62, Oral Chemotherapy Parity, and Senate File 119, Hospice Respite Care.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 2 will meet Wednesday, February 18th at 8 a.m. in room 204 to hear the following re-referred bills, Senate File 30 Engrossed,
Cam Guernsey Range Management Fund, Senate File 27, Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Highway, Senate File 45, Digital Information Privacy Task Force Reapportion, Senate File 24, Engross Wyoming Infrastructure Authority Amendments, Senate File 42, Engross Task Force on Mineral Taxes, and Senate File 81, Engross Kevin's Law. And, Mr. Speaker, your committee number two will meet upon adjournment on Wednesday to hear committee bills, Senate File 58, Engross State Park Officers Benefits, and Senate File 59, Wyoming Public Television Endowment Accounts. Thank you. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
Please.
Thank you. Folks, I just want to remind you of the Whammy Lunch. This is your opportunity, especially if you think maybe your community is kind of short on doctors. You can go and schmooze them now and tell them how great your town is. And I will be leaving from my desk in a couple minutes, and I can take about six more people with me if you want to carpool.
I've heard the motion to adjourn until 1 o'clock. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We're adjourned until 1 o'clock.